Our church year ends this morning, the last Sunday after Pentecost, and we end with a doozy, right? The crucifixion, the most fitting gospel choice for today, dubbed in 1925 as Christ the King Sunday. The day we are to celebrate the primacy of Christ over human authority. And today we're reminded what that primacy actually looks like. It's not as a king adorned in fancy robes, but stripped naked. Not respected, but abused. Not worshipped, mocked. This is our king. Unjustly killed, another innocent victim to violence, humanity's true original sin. The depth of Luke's depiction of the crucifixion is beyond our precious few moments here. We have to paint in big brushstrokes, knowing any masterwork is crafted over time and are living with the incomplete canvas. We receive this story, this most powerful of moments, with its inescapable themes of sacrifice and salvation. And then we juxtapose this image of the crucifixion with our view of kings. But we also may juxtapose it with that opening to this gospel we call Luke. If we dig back in our minds to just under a year ago, we went through those first three chapters of Luke with the dramatic entrance of this angel who visits Elizabeth and Zechariah to announce that these two, even them, would give birth to a child. And then, of course, there's Mary and the songs and the angels and the shepherds and the praising in the temple. It's a big, bold, hopeful story. And we remember that the angels came to announce a child was to be born who would transform the world. And that child now hangs upon a cross, having done nothing to warrant such a fate. An innocent man. I think this is why we struggle with Jesus' kingship. Right, with naming him as our main guy, his life and death upended power in exactly the same way he describes the kingdom upends our world's power structure. The reversals Jesus preaches are evident in his life. Right? The king who comes from this couple of outcasts and born among the animals, this king is so easily captured, defeated, taunted and mocked, brutalized and tortured for nothing. In Luke, Jesus doesn't blaspheme. He gives them no cause. The anger, the punishment, the vindictiveness of the Jewish leadership wasn't warranted, and the state's murder of an innocent victim was public and unjust. This is the contradiction today. How completely opposite our vision of power and effectiveness. If God anoints a Messiah to change the world, then Jesus doesn't die, right? Not using our American logic. God would anoint a Messiah to take the weapons from our enemies, like Superman, to just go in and fix it all, to clean our slate and be done with it. That'd be the American Messiah. That's just not God's Messiah in the Christ. He doesn't abuse to say we shouldn't abuse, lie to say we shouldn't lie, hate to say we shouldn't hate. Our Messiah doesn't come do the hard work of reconciling the world for us. He doesn't manipulate us or fix things for us. Instead, he shows us his way, the way, isn't to power, but to the cross. The place where power may destroy our bodies, but not our souls. Nor will it destroy our faith, our voice, our community. If the problem is an earthly king enthroned in power for years, then God revealed to us instead a Messiah enthroned on the cross for a matter of hours. The writer of Luke and Acts makes great pains to show Jesus as innocent, more so than the other gospel narratives. He doesn't blaspheme or conspire to destroy Rome or threaten to kill anyone. But he's still tried and convicted by the Jewish leadership. He's tried and executed by the Roman government. And he's mocked by everyone along the way. The authorities, the soldiers, even one of the criminals crucified with him. He's treated as guilty, but remains completely innocent of crimes. Right? So the church and the state killed this would-be king. And this is Jesus. The picture of our king, then, is not only weak in the face of power, but innocent in the face of injustice. In reversing the world in his upside-down economy, Jesus contrasts heavenly power by revealing the systemic evil of earthly power. He reveals the way of Jesus is not the way of mocking and abuse, violence and the execution of the innocent. The ways of dominance and power are on trial, not Jesus. And in Jesus' innocence, that way of the world, the way of the emperor, of Rome, of Jewish kings and temple leaders, all of it is proven guilty. Now, the other major theme in Luke's story is salvation. It's the source of the mocking from the Jewish leaders who call Jesus Messiah to the Roman soldiers who call Jesus King. They both mock Jesus in the same way from their own cultural contexts. They look at the would-be savior with condescension and ridicule. They mock him as a dimwit. If you save people, then you must be able to save yourself. I mean, it's a reasonable idea. The power which dominates and demands control would never take to its loss. They'd have to fight back, wouldn't they? Hasten and escape, jump down. If Jesus had any power at all, as we know it, he'd break those bonds, jump down, and knock some heads. He'd go full Samson on them. To the empire, this is only logical. To a culture which values power and dominance and control, for sure, right? But for Jesus, no way. Christ offers quite the opposite. And as for the criminals, one mocks him and asks him for an escape route, right? He doesn't just say, if you could save them, you can save yourself and me too. Get down from this cross and take me with you, right? But the other one, who respected this other way of seeing the world Jesus demonstrates. To that one, Jesus offers salvation. This is the good news we need. That the salvation Jesus offers isn't like our world, where the wealth and the power go to the top, where it also tends to stay. The powerful jealously guard their power and protect it. But Jesus offers it freely, generously, to all manner of people. So of course, in the midst of this upside-down economy of Jesus's, in the revealing of the kingdom through the cross, of course, the one who would go with Jesus into paradise is a criminal. The innocent man brings with him the guilty. That's our Christ. Whatever we call him, whatever we claim him to be, King, Lord, Messiah, Savior, Liberator, Comforter, Shepherd, that's him, innocent, but mixing it up with the guilty. Like the rabbi with the tax collector, the ritually pure with the sick, this is the deal. And this is the kingdom. Whenever we choose humility over pride with each other, when we let God's mercy break through the sin of our world, or even when we let someone else have the last scoop of stuffing. This week, may your family be well and your food delicious. May your gatherings be fruitful and hopeful. And may you have the strength to be both honest and merciful with all of these imperfect people who fill this imperfect kingdom world. Amen.